that because Genesis is the first book in the Bible, obviously there's going to be a lot of first in that book. And we'll look at that this morning. Our Heavenly Father, pray to my bless as we look into your book again. Help us to learn and grow and be challenged by the Holy Spirit of God to have our lives changed for the better. Help me preach as always, Lord. I need you to help me. Thank you for the love shown this morning by the congregation and the appreciation, pastor appreciation that they showed everyone that gave toward it. I pray that you might bless your word again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to preach something about Genesis 4, but I wonder how many have ever realized that the gospel is laid down in Genesis, starting with Genesis chapter 5, by the names of the people that lived. Maybe some of you have. I think I've done this 15 years ago or something like that. But take your Bibles and get your pen out. You that are listening at home as well, if you would get a pen out to make notations, that's the only way it'll make any sense to you. In Genesis chapter 5, there is a meaning to Bible names. And here we're starting right out with Adam being the first man. So in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, underline the name Adam. And then off to the side, write down the meaning of it, which is man. Then go on down to verse 3. And the last name there is Seth. Underline that. And Seth means appointed. Verse 7, underline Enos. And his name means mortal. Then you've got, in verse 9, you got Canaan. It means sorrow. In verse 12, underline Mahalalel. It means blessed God. In verse 16, you've got Jared. Underline that. And then In the sideline, put down, shall come down. That's what Jared means. Shall come down. Then in verse 19, pick it up. There's Enoch. Meaning of Enoch is teaching. In verse 21, there's Methuselah. Underline that. It means his death shall bring. Go to verse 25, underline Lamech. It means despairing. And then finally in verse 29, Noah. His name means rest. Now turn back right there to verse 1 in chapter 5. And let's read what I told you the meanings of the name are. It's actually the gospel. I'll put in a couple prepositions in the meanwhile. But let's read it. Man is appointed, to mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching about his death, shall bring the despairing rest. Amen. That's what it's all about in life. The gospel. We are the despairing. We're the ones that were lost in sin, but God came down in the form of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he gave us rest through him. It's the only way that you can get real rest, eternal rest, everlasting rest. And so it's right there in the book of Genesis. There's so many things that you can pick out of Genesis and be a blessing to you. And so you can teach others that also. And that's what you should do about everything that that you learn here at the church. Be able to teach others, take it outside the church and be a blessing to someone else. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, you see what happened in verse 1. That Adam knew Eve. That word knew is a sexual word. And that's where the conception of their first son came. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. The word Cain means possession. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. In other words, she possessed something now. Came out of her own body. And she again bare his brother, Abel. That word means breath. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. You might want to make a note in your Bible there next to it that is the first invention mentioned in the Bible. A tiller, an implement, a tool, first invention. And so you got Abel as a shepherd, and you got Cain, his brother, as a farmer. So you've got animals and you got ground. That's how everything started out. And sure enough, we got the same thing today. If we didn't have animals, you wouldn't be buying anything down there at Walmart or wherever you go. You know, if you're a meat eater, by the way. Isn't it vegans that don't eat meat? Is that right? I wonder if two vegans were having an argument with each other, would it still be called a beef? No? That's the best joke you'll hear all day. Anyway, but it says here that they gave an offering unto the Lord in verse 3. And it says in verse 4 that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had not respect. I hope you have those words respect circled in your Bible. Because that's what is very important with man. The respect of God on your life. Because with respect comes blessing. And your son, his son, the Lord Jesus. When you respect God, it's too bad that we have more Christians, or at least those that call themselves Christians, and don't respect the things of God like they should. One of the commandments is to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. But more Christians all the time have something more important than worshiping God. There'll be all kinds of pressures in life, but we have to either stand for the Lord or not. But it goes down. First of all, you had the first invention in verse 2. In verse 3, you got the first offering in the Bible. Right there, the two brothers that came from Adam and Eve. It says here that Cain, in verse 5, was very wroth, and his countenance fell. His countenance, his face. He was upset. He was angry because God didn't respect his offer. And there's a reason for that. The thing that Cain and Abel knew from their parents is that when they tried to cover their nakedness with a fig leaf, it wasn't good enough, and God took an animal, killed it, and put the skin on Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. So if that pleased God in killing that animal and using it for his creation, that's a principle. And so Cain and Abel both should have known that. And Abel did know that. That's why he brought the lamb. But Cain didn't. He went ahead and brought the works of his own hands. You can't please God with works. You got to please God with faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So it tells us in the book of Romans. So here we see some precedents being laid down. And he was wroth. Here's the first emotion, other than love. Adam and Eve obviously loved one another. They were married, and in God's eyes, by the way, that's what marriage is. In God's eyes. It's not the county clerk down here giving you a legal license that you're married. You have to be married in the eyes of the Lord. And so that goes into all kinds of different things about marriage and divorce and all of that that we have today. But here we see he was angry in verse 5. His face fell, no smile on his face. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Well, that's quite a question. And God's asking, why are you angry? You know, a lot of times we're angry about things. There's no big deal about it. Why are you angry? A lot of things will come into your life. We don't like it. And it affects our emotions. And anger is one of them. God doesn't want that within our life, because it destroys his creation. You see what anger brought. It brought the first murder, is what it brought. Anger isn't going to bring something good. That's not the way it works, for sure. And so we've got to get a hold of that within our Christian lives too, because we're still sinners, just saved by grace. And so there's things in our life we need to get out that displease God. It's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for our children. It's not healthy for our family. Dealing with anger. And God is the one that asks the question. In verse 6. He goes on to explain in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Wow, the first murder coming from the first brothers in creation. I mean, this is how all of the population of the earth started. Boy, not a good note to start on. Especially Adam and Eve, when they sinned against the Lord and disobeyed him and took of the fruit of the tree. Somehow, people get in their mind they can disobey what God says in the Word of God and everything will be fine. But it never is. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We don't like the reaping. We get all upset at the reaping. That's uncomfortable, no doubt about it. So we need to watch what we sow. So righteousness, do right. That's what he said. God, right out of God's mouth, he said. If you do well, verse 7, if you're doing the right thing, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, that's where sin lieth at the door. What's a door? It's a thing you have to go through for entrance. Is that right? Mm-hmm. The entrance of sin into your life when you don't do well. You don't do what God said. You don't obey the Lord. You are right against him. And sure enough, you're not going to get blessings from that. So now the next sin comes. What was the next sin? Anybody want to give it?
Was it when he lied? Or does that still come next?
Yeah, no,
that's next.
Yeah, there was lying involved. But the thing that's cruel as the grave is jealousy. Jealousy and envy. This is Cain, jealous of his brother Abel because God accepted his offering and didn't accept Cain's. God loves faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, the book in Hebrews says. 11:6, I think it is. And so, here you're right against what God has said. God wants us to do well, that is, be holy. It's 1 Peter 1:16 that everybody should know. Be holy, for I am holy, is what the Lord said. But the verse before that said, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What was he doing? He was being angry. Why was he angry? He was jealous. People get mad at God, get mad at people. What do you think's behind that murder? Cain didn't like what God did. He blessed his brother, but he didn't bless him. He didn't accept his offering. And he got jealous of that thing. He got envious of his brother. And sure enough, did you ever notice that one sin leads to another sin, another sin, to another sin? Amen. It's progressive. You don't let a little leaven, picture a sin, into your life. Because before you know it, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The whole bread is, you got to throw it out. So you want to catch it in the bud. Some people don't like that when that happens. But it has to be. If you're going to follow what God says. The word holy there in the Bible does not mean sinless. It's important that you understand that. And that it means separation. Separate. Different. There is no one like God. No one at all. He's separate. Even Jesus, when they talked about Jesus in Hebrews, he's separate from sinners. He's holy. And that's what God says, that we need to be separate from sinners too. We're not to be influenced by sinners in our life. We need to be influenced by God. Godly people. Godly preachers. That'll take the word of God, teach you, and preach to you. So you know what's right. You see, I preach hard sometimes. And it's not out of hate. It's out of love. I'm trying to preach the word of God in love. That's the whole reason for it. Now, compromising preachers, they'll take that word love and say compromise. So they won't preach hard. They won't bring out the things that'll be convicting to every one of us. And we all need that. That's what the word of God is there for. We need to have holy indignation toward sin in our life. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, you need to be angry about sin. But in your life. Yeah, how easy it is for us to be angry about the sin in somebody else's life. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. So get your Bibles ready. Because here we go. Exodus chapter 22. The book of Exodus chapter 22. Next book. Exodus 22, verse 24. It says, "And my wrath shall wax hot." The word wax means grow. And of course, hot is understandable, right? "And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." Watch out. God is angry with sin. People pay big time because of sin. It can change everything in a life. It can change everything in a family. All of the family relations. All of the relations in a church. All of that. You aren't an island unto yourself. You affect others by the way you live. Don't allow sin to come in, because God really takes it even to the place of killing the sinners that won't repent. You see it right in front of you. Go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, verse 10. It says, the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb and Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun. So in verse 13 it says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. Right on through. God doesn't play around, because he can have anger, but he's got righteous anger. And so you got to watch when you get angry at anyone else. Are you righteous? Really? That you would be angry at someone else when you're not righteous? We got to watch that. That's why God talks about this first sin. This sin that brought anger to Cain, and then murder because of it. Go to Psalm chapter 7, the book of Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day, brother. Why do you think there's hell? For those that don't respect God, will not respect his son, will not accept his son as the payment for their sin. They're so angry at God, they curse God every day. They don't care. They have no respect for God at all. God's angry with the wicked every day. Those that are leading our country, that's not leadership. We have a lack of leadership. They are controlled by Satan. To do the things that they are, murdering innocent children. Doesn't matter if they're in the womb or out. California, as I told you, they passed a law. They can kill them up to 28 days after they're born. It's legal to murder children. Welcome to America. Welcome to Sodom and Gomorrah is more like it, huh? That's for sure. God is angry with the wicked every day because of that wickedness that goes on. Go to John chapter 2, please. Gospel of John chapter 2. And it's getting worse in different places all the time. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it is written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Jesus was angry at sin. Jesus was angry that things were wrong where they worshiped. I don't know about you, but I don't want God's anger on our church. We're going to take care of sin right away. We're going to do it the right way. Get it out publicly. Have it repented and confessed. And then forgive. And so that's what we want to do. The anger of man. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to that. Told you're going to look at a lot of scripture. Book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not." In other words, normally anger with man will bring sin. We're going to see that because it gets worse and worse. But here he says, sin not. You don't keep that anger. You don't go on to the next day. Because if you do, verse 27 comes, neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil overtake you, put you in an angry fit, and think that you're righteous and someone's not. Deal with sin the way God tells you to deal with sin. So we do see the anger of even Christians. This is written to the Ephesians. Same people here. Go back to Galatians 5. To your left, just a couple pages. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. He tells you about the works of the flesh. They're unveiled, they're manifest. Adultery, fornication, these are works of the flesh, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, and I've told you, have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, just the opposite. That's not a light thing that I'm preaching about this morning. God is the one that is worthy of being angry with the wicked every day. We are not to have a lifestyle of all of these things that are listed here. If you have a continuing lifestyle of doing those things, it just proves you're not saved. It doesn't mean that if you commit that one time, you're not saved. You can praise the Lord for repentance. Praise the Lord for forgiveness. All of us sin in one way or another every day. Maybe you even get angry. Or do something about that anger. That'll take you down. God's not pleased with that. Go to Colossians. To the right a few pages. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now ye also put off all these." First thing on the list, anger. Then wrath, that's completely out of control. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, cursing, so forth. Lie not one to another. Can't be a liar. Seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. So it's listed is what my point is. Over and over again, you'll see that. I won't have you go to every scripture I've got listed down here, like James chapter 1, verse 19, James 3, verse 5, verse 8, verse 10, 1 Peter 3, amen. Go to Proverbs. We'll tackle one book. Book of Proverbs, chapter 8. I'm afraid we all sin every day in this sin of anger. By the way, I want to apologize to Marlene this morning when I was angry yesterday at you. I've repented against that and I've been forgiven of that as well. That's the only thing you can do with any kind of sin. But I was upset over something. We won't go into all of that. But anyway, I let it get the best of me. And so we've got to stay in the spirit, no doubt. Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 13. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. Do I hate?" Those words that come out of your mouth, the ones you speak in anger, God hates that. Now you're getting some meat this morning. Because most churches and so forth, they take everything lightly. Oh, you can do anything, you know, and God loves you, and they compromise the Word of God. All you got to do is read. First of all, you don't even know what the Bible is. They're reading the NIV or some crazy thing. Amazing. Go to Proverbs 12. We see that there is something that God hates. The words that come out of your mouth, angry words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame." Yeah. Don't be a fool. Don't have wrath. Because everybody sees it. It's presently known. It's right out there in front. Go to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 17. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." You got to do the right thing. Sometimes I'm hated for doing the right thing, but for wicked devices, that would be somebody that is soon angry. I mean, just anything will blow your cork, you know. Blow your stack. Look at verse 29, chapter 14, verse 29. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. In other words, you prove that you're a fool when you quickly get angry over something. Watch out about that. Those that have studied anger in human beings, they say there's three different kinds of anger. There's passive aggression, open aggression, and assertive anger. That'll lead to wrath. And so, you see all kinds of things that are happening out here, all of the murders that we have. You know what the emotion is behind that? Anger. Anger. It's easy to pick up an AR-15, you know, or an AK-47, and go into a supermarket or a mall or something, shoot up people. They're angry at something. Angry at their parents, angry at the school, angry at somebody. This is not a small thing, anger. And even though in a Christian's life, normally it wouldn't go that far, but even in families and marriages, I've seen anger tear it apart. Seen children affected because of anger that's in that house. Got to watch out about that thing, huh? Look at chapter 15 and in verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Yeah, somebody can provoke and stir up anger. That's what that stirring up is. Important that you're not part of that thing and you realize how bad this sin is. Go to chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse 28. Says that he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Better get control, friend. You know, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God take care of all this stuff. But we won't let God have control. We want to keep control. We want things done our way rather than God's way. They will leave God, they will leave the church, they will leave the preacher, they will leave the Bible because they're angry. Things didn't go their way. And we see it, you read it in the newspapers every day. You see it on the TV, you see what's happening. Nothing new, my friend. But God had the answer to it all the time in the Bible. Go to chapter 22, Proverbs 22, verse 24. It says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Woo. That's some heavy stuff. You're to separate from somebody that's always angry or furious and so forth. That's scripture. That's right in the book, my friend. Better to take it easy. What did we just read? Don't be soon angry. Don't be hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Abraham Lincoln's secretary of war, Edwin Stanton, was angered by an army officer who accused him of favoritism. Stanton complained to Lincoln, who suggested that Stanton write the officer a sharp letter. Stanton did, and showed the strongly worded missive to the president. "What are you going to do with it?" Lincoln inquired. Surprised, Stanton replied, "Send it." Lincoln shook his head. He said, "You don't want to send that letter," he said. "Put it in the fire." That's what I do when I have written a letter while I'm angry. It's a good letter, and you had a good time writing it, and now you feel better. Now burn it and write another. Amen. The wisdom coming from Abraham Lincoln. Don't be hasty in thy spirit to be angry. It's all about self-control. It's all about giving way to God and not giving way to your anger. We know that God hates that. We've already read that. Look at Ecclesiastes, the next book. I'm just about done. I'm not, but I'm going to close anyway. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 9. I hope you're marking this in your Bible. You'll never learn and grow if you don't. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Watch out that anger doesn't eat you up. Benjamin Franklin said, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame." Smart guy, old Benjamin. One writer said, "Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds and smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel, both to the pain and are given and the pain you are giving back, in many ways is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you." Wisdom in that, is there not? Another thing is revenge. Revenge. I got to get even with this guy. Angry. Wrath. Doesn't it tell you in Romans 12 not to avenge? Anger, God will avenge the wicked. He'll take care of it. You let God take care of that thing. Don't you go vigilante. God straighten out everything. God can add too. God keeps track too. I pray that this has helped you some way in your life. And some verses that you can be reminded of daily and to show others in your family as well. Don't let anger overtake you. It always ruins things. Try love. Put on love. Honesty. I'm glad for God's love. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't. You wouldn't either. That he loved you enough to die for you. I pray for each one of us that we'll be strong in the Lord in the days to come. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless the study that we've had this morning in your word. Have your will done and give us the sense to be able to repent of sin, to confess it to you, and to people, if necessary, to have forgiveness, that we might go on and live for you within our life. Help us to serve you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.